You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, thousands of people in Wisconsin have multiple prescriptions for antipsychotic drugs that shouldn't be taken together. A guest shares her new report on the overprescribing of mental health medications.
First, for a long time, the conventional wisdom for new parents has been if you downshift your career or take some time off to be with your kids, you'll pay a price in your work life when you try to ramp back up again. Our next guest says that's outdated thinking, and it is possible to focus on your family for a while without sacrificing your career.
Leeson Stromberg joins us now. She's a journalist, speaker, and the author of the book Work, Pause, Thrive, How to Pause for Parenthood Without Killing Your Career. She's also COO of the 3% Movement. Leeson, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, for years, we've been hearing that taking the off-ramp to focus on family and raising kids is, especially for women, a kind of career suicide, that it's tough to get back on track in the workforce. And you see it a little differently. How come?
I do, Veronica. It's fascinating. When Lean In came out, I heard so many young women ask me directly, how do I do this? How do I navigate my career? And I had known in my own journey, and many of the women I had interviewed as a journalist and also that I just sort of saw out in the work world, they had actually downshifted or paused temporarily, either left completely the paid workforce or downshifted work part-time, and eventually managed to relaunch to great success. And I said, okay, well, if I'm seeing that, is that the anomaly or is that the rule? So I went out to find out. I ended up interviewing 186 women and surveying 1,500 more for my book, Work, Pause, Thrive. And what I learned is, in fact, the vast majority of women actually did for a period of time downshift, not for that long, but managed to relaunch to great success. It was incredibly inspiring.
And this is your story, too, in effect. I guess you didn't know if you were one of the only ones, but you had a big career in advertising, and you surprised yourself by wanting to downshift your career. Can you tell us how you got to your point?
Well, let's be clear. I actually didn't want to downshift my career. What I found is that it was really challenging to be a very engaged mother and a very committed professional in the workplace. That the kind of environment that says we have to be all in all of the time was great if you had a stay-at-home partner, but I had a husband who had an equally engaged and committed career, and it just ended up being really challenging for the two of us. And I tried to downshift and work part-time with my employer at the time, and they just were not interested. So I said, okay, I'm out of here. I'm going to innovate and create something new and different in my own way. What I ended up doing is shifting. I ended up becoming a journalist, and ultimately now I'm back making change in the advertising industry because, sadly, not much has changed in the last 20 years.
You use the word innovate, and I think that's part of the key based on the stories in your book, that that's something that the women who have taken this downshift, they come back and they do something innovative. They're a little more flexible maybe than just climbing the ladder one rung at a time. Can you talk about the role of innovation?
Oh, it's a great question, Veronica. Thanks for asking it. So here's what we've learned. I saw that people had essentially four paths. The first path was women who never downshifted or paused. They were all in all the time. Interestingly, those women didn't leave for a variety of reasons, not the least of which was they loved their jobs, they were thriving, and they had the flexibility they needed to be engaged parents. So they didn't feel the need to leave. The second group were women who actually stayed in the game. I call them cruisers. These were women who downshifted to work part-time. Women, for example, like Rosine Matthews. She was in banking, paused for 3 years, and then went back into banking and now is a senior vice president at Wells Fargo. Didn't hurt her career at all to actually downshift for a period of time. There's another group of women that I discovered, which I call boomerangs. Roseanne's sort of like that. They're people who downshifted. They completely left the paid workforce and then boomerang back to their previous career. Quay Maddox, who was a producer with a major television agency, paused for 15 years, I think it was almost 15 years, and now is relaunched as a producer at CNN. She's a perfect example of a boomerang. And the last group are people I called pivoters. They're the people who literally took that period of time of pausing to say, what do I really want to do with my life? What kind of difference do I want to make? What is a life well lived? And they're the ones who in many ways were the most innovative. They shifted completely and created new careers and new opportunities for them. Marianne Perrin is an example of that. She was a big technologist. She was a vice president of finance and operations. She pivoted, and ultimately she ended up becoming a professor of nutritional science, and she's now a professor at the University of North Carolina. It was these stories that were so inspiring to me and so reflective of how these women were just trailblazing paths because the workplace didn't allow them to really thrive. They did it on their own.
Now, I want to ask you about the workplace and what role that plays, because for some of the women you talked to, they were able to go part-time, so they were able to focus, you know, spend more time with their families, but then maybe they had a really sympathetic boss who said, sure, you can go down to 75%, and they did, but then, you know, not everybody has that. That did not seem to be the rule. It was the exception.
You're absolutely right, Veronica. It was really interesting. I learned so many stories of women who had quietly and carefully navigated a reduced schedule, but who didn't tell the other employees, or their employer refused to let them tell other people. So you never knew that, in fact, they were working part-time. I tell the story of a close friend of mine from college who was a very senior executive in a luxury good industry, in a luxury goods industry. She downshifted for 10 years, and I never even knew. And her answer to me when she finally revealed it was, my employer didn't want anyone else to know, so we didn't tell anyone I was only working 4 days or 3 days a week. So we have these hidden stories that we don't know. But to your point, they are the exception, they're not the rule. We're finding that many people want this solution just for a period of time, a short period of time, and aren't getting it because everyone says, well, that can't happen, it can't work. But in fact, what I saw is it happens and works all of the time.
We're talking with Lisen Stromberg right now. She's the author of the book Work, Pause, Thrive, How to Pause for Parenthood Without Killing Off Your Career. And Lisen, are there rules that make a pause like this successful, sort of benchmarks that all of these women had in common?
Well, you know, you're asking a great question. So in the research that I did for Work, Pause, Thrive, I found a number of sort of patterns of behavior that I thought were really inspiring. The first one is the women consistently had a real sense of their own value. I mean, we talk about female confidence and all of this, but they really understood, I have something to offer, and if I can't thrive in this environment, I'm going to find another environment in which I can thrive. And they were very willing to adapt and iterate until they could find it. So that real sense of, I have value to offer, I want to bring this to the workplace, I'm going to partner with my employer to make it work, and if that doesn't work, I'm going to take my talents elsewhere. The other thing they had, and this is something that, interestingly, in the survey I didn't ask about, and they told me in volumes in the comments section, was the power and importance of having a great partner. And
Lisen, are you there?
I can hear you.
Oh, now you're back. Terrific. Okay.
Oh, sorry.
You said
having a windstorm here in San Francisco.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, you had just said something about the power of a great partner.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. It was incredible to me. So many of the women shared that it was their partner that actually allowed them to thrive. That, in fact, their partner kept their careers alive, you know, made introductions when they were ready to relaunch, or spiraled themselves. The partner might have downshifted for a period of time while the other, you know, while the women themselves were trying to advance their career. So we saw some career spiraling going on. The other thing that women did was they always considered themselves nurturing their career whether or not they were in the paid workforce. They networked. They went to conferences. They, you know, used social media to continue to build their brand. They didn't look at whether they were being paid or not as a measure of whether their career was thriving. They looked at their career and the long view and really nurtured it along the way.
Did you look at all about whether this was an option that was available to all women or just women, say, who had a partner, who had a certain degree of wealth? Or did it turn out that taking a pause was maybe more of a luxury good for some parents?
Well, it's a really great question. So in the survey, what I did was I limited it to women who had a college degree and women who were mothers. And the reason I did that is because I was asking myself, what's the break point of women's careers? You've invested all this time and money into your career, you know, by going to college, et cetera. What does that look like? But what I learned was, in fact, we're seeing a huge increase in women in the middle classes and under-resourced women who are pausing, not because they necessarily want to, but again, because the workplace is so constrained and because our public policies don't support parents in the workplace. We don't have paid maternity leave. We don't have universal child care that's affordable and high quality. And so we're seeing women and men, frankly, kind of be forced to make solutions. I will say that the women I interviewed, the majority of them actually were in long-term relationships, whether they were married or not, not necessarily required that, but they did have partners that allowed them to downshift for a period of time, or that they could then have support and allow to their partners downshift. So yes, that's, you know, those were some of the things that we're seeing happen. That's the way it worked. So if you're a single parent, it's a lot harder, obviously.
Lisen Stromberg is joining us right now. She's a journalist, a speaker, and the author of the new book, Work, Pause, Thrive, How to Pause for Parenthood Without Killing Your Career.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Have you done this? Did you take a pause in your career at some point to focus on family, leaving the workforce for a while, dialing back to part-time? Are you glad you did it, or did you pay a big price for it in your career progress? What made it successful or not? Does your workplace cooperate with you when you're trying to navigate the needs of parenting with the needs of working? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up the conversation in just a little bit on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. And Lisen Stromberg stays with us now. She's got a new book out. It's called Work, Pause, Thrive, How to Pause for Parenthood Without Killing Your Career.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you do this at some point in your life? Are you doing it right now, taking a time out of the workforce or cutting back to part-time while you deal with the needs of parenting? Was it easy to pull off? Difficult? Took a lot of negotiation? Was it a choice or a necessity? Have you done this and gotten back into the workforce? How'd that go? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll take a caller now. We've got Faith joining us in Madison. Faith, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to add to this wonderful conversation. I'm a grandmother, so I'm in my second round of having to put my career on pause while I'm raising my 6-year-old granddaughter. And I had been in management, working for a company that didn't allow anyone in management to have a flexible schedule or a part-time schedule. So I applied actually for a job very straightforwardly, saying that I was a grandmother, I was very involved, and I needed a position that could allow me the flexibility I needed. I was fortunate that I found a position like that and have been able to remain active in the workforce. But to my advantage was the fact that I did have a very supportive partner, and I also had savings enough that I could take that leap and keep my fingers crossed that everything would be okay.
Faith, thank you so much for sharing that. Got lots of interesting points there. And Lisen, let's talk about the willingness of an organization, a corporation, to take on an employee like Faith who might say up front, I want to work part-time. This is my situation. Do you think that we are seeing more workplaces that are amenable to that kind of arrangement, or is it still a tough bargain?
Well, you know, Faith, first of all, congratulations on your journey. That's so inspiring to hear. You are perfectly a wonderful Work, Pause, Thrive role model. Thanks for calling in. What I'm hearing and what I'm seeing is a fascinating series of trends. So, you know, here I am in Silicon Valley. Silicon Valley, the average age of the employee is 30, and they're just about to hit a huge baby boom. In fact, 64 million millennials are expected to become parents in the next decade. And what do we know about millennials? Millennials tell us again and again in the research that they value time over money, although they need and want to be well paid, and they really value meaning over kind of marching up the traditional career ladder, although they do want to have successful careers. Well, guess who that sounds like? That sounds like the women of my generation and maybe Faith's generation that have been trying to navigate and innovate and trailblaze this entire time because the workplace wasn't supportive. So what we're seeing is really innovative, smart workplaces figure out that flexibility is a secret sauce to actually keeping employees engaged. And the other thing we're seeing is a real commitment to actually advancing women in leadership. So we're seeing them actually trying to unpack what can they do. Companies are doing things like providing return-to-work internships for women who've paused their careers, or men for that matter. Let's be clear, it doesn't have to be a woman. So we're seeing a lot of that happening in the workplace right now. We're also seeing a real movement away from FaceTime priority to actually remote work or, you know, flexible working. You know, we have the technology now to work, you know, from home one day a week and know that work can get done. And so we're seeing some real shift, and I actually think we're going to see more and more of that as the millennial generation becomes more and more rooted in management and actually can make decisions that will make some, we'll see some serious changes.
Lisa, I got to follow up. Back to work internships? How does that work?
Isn't that so cool?
Yeah.
So here's, it's just catching the wave. We're seeing it a lot in technology. We're seeing it in the financial services industry. We're seeing it in advertising in the industry that I'm working in. So what we're seeing is companies say, look, we have a mid-career problem. Women are leaving the workforce, college-educated women are leaving the workforce in droves. In fact, about a quarter of college-educated women leave every year for caregiving responsibilities. Well, that's a lot of really well-educated talent that the workplace needs to have back in there. They're also women, and we know all the research shows that when we have women in leadership, we're seeing great changes happen for the bottom line. It's not corporate social responsibility, it's economic. So companies are trying to figure out, how do you get those mid-career women back? Well, what they've started to launch are these 3, sometimes 4, sometimes even 6 months internship where the women or the men come in and they end up doing an internship for this period of time where they actually are being trained in various areas or they're kind of working without a permanent job and then they get hired full time. And I'm seeing up to 100% retention as a result of this. And it's completely changing the pipeline to the top.
Do they get paid?
An organization that's, sorry?
Do they get paid for the internship?
Of course, absolutely, as they should. All that great talent, mid-career, here's an example. Andrea Chermayoff was out of the workforce for 15 years, and she did a return-to-work internship at J.P. Morgan, and she's now a vice president of wealth management. I asked her, and when I interviewed her, I said, Andrea, how long did it take you to get back on track? She laughed and said, 1 year. In 1 year, no one knew that I had been out for 15 years. That's how quickly they were able to assimilate her and get her back into a senior-level position. And we're seeing that more and more. We're seeing an opportunity of all this incredible talent who refocus their energies on home matters for whatever reason, caring for parents, caring for whatever, and are now able to recommit to the workplace full-time and are just thriving.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234 as we talk to Lisa Stromberg, the author of Work, Pause, Thrive, How to Pause for Parenthood Without Killing Your Career. And we go to Becky joining us in Beloit. Becky, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I work at a public library, and I work part-time so that I can be at home more, you know, obviously. I just wonder if any other women or men who decide to take this track have problems with other coworkers and how they find it sort of easy for, well, you only work part-time, so it's easier for you to take care of your kids or, you know, sort of stuff like that.
You know, Becky, thanks for calling in, and thank you for the good work in the library. We love libraries. here's the truth of it. I think that we have a workplace that really honors and promotes and advances the ideal worker. And that ideal worker is really that 1950s model, and typically a man who's in the workplace working full-time, 24/7. He can travel at the drop of the hat and do all things. And the reason he can do that is typically he has a spouse at home who can care for those little distractions we call life, right? And the truth of the matter is that model used to work. It really did work for a long time. It doesn't work anymore because we actually have to have two career couples to support just living in the United States these days, right? So what we're seeing is many, many, and it's typically women, downshifting to work part-time or pausing for a period of time because they have to, not necessarily because they want to. But the problem is the workplace still honors and reveres that all-in ideal worker. So unfortunately, someone like you may suffer, you know, environments where the colleagues say, well, I'm working like a dog and you're not, that's not fair. What I saw in my research is that a number of women said who had worked part-time or downshifted ended up leaving their companies and going elsewhere because they faced motherhood bias. They faced this ideal worker bias and motherhood bias that said, well, you've got these other distractions, you're not committed. So the only way that they could really reinvent themselves was to go somewhere else and take their talents elsewhere. What a loss for a company, don't you think?
Well, Becky, thanks a lot for that question. Appreciate that. And Leeson, is there a downside to this? Did you hear from women who said, I didn't make as much money over the course of my career? What is the downside?
Yes, money is absolutely one of the number one downsides. Look, if you're unemployed or you reduce your hours, you're going to be paid less. That means you're putting less money into your retirement. You're putting less money into your family to support your family. And that absolutely, you know, and then, of course, divorce happens, death happens, job loss happens. It's a risk. And so what I do in the book is I really try and explain how you can strategically support yourself. If you choose to downshift your career, what can you do over the long haul to support yourself? There was no way for me to analyze when I paused my career for 2 years what it would do financially, what the impact would be. But there's a really fascinating calculator that you can find from New American Progress. If you actually type in stay-at-home calculator, I think you can find it. It's referenced in the book. And they'll tell you, if this is your salary and you decide to take out, this will be the long-term implications for your family's budget. It's a little surprising.
In that, you take a bigger hit than you think you're going to take?
I think that's true, because not only are you losing your actual income, you're losing the 401k benefits, you're losing, you know, disability insurance, you're losing all these things, right? And then what you don't realize is that over the course of time, your career might have moved on track faster, et cetera. So there are financial implications, and you have to decide if you're willing to make those compromises. Many of the women I spoke to actually said, in fact, I was surprised, 78% of the women who paused their careers. So, again, the vast majority of the women I surveyed did pause their careers, which in itself surprised me. 78% said they had no regrets, even though they did take financial hits. That they actually said it was worth it for their overall life quality and satisfaction. To me, that was really interesting.
Well, Leeson, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate it.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That was Leeson Stromberg. She's a journalist, a speaker, and the author of the book, Work, Pause, Thrive, How to Pause for Parenthood Without Killing Your Career. She's also the COO of the 3% Movement. And you can let us know what you think. Is this something that you've had experience with in your life? Did you take a pause in your career, maybe decide to stay home? Maybe you had a new baby. Maybe you were caring for parents. And did you try to get back into the workforce? How did that work out for you? Any regrets? Would you do it again? And what advice do you have? You can let us know on the Central Time Facebook page.